As we prepare to reflect on them, let's pray. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Fugitive. The Blues Brothers. Catch Me If You Can. Thelma and Louise. What do all these films have in common? Same thing that the games that we were talking about with the youngsters earlier have in common. People running away. They're all stories of people on the run. People who are fleeing, trying to escape. Some of them are innocent of what they've been accused of. Most of them are actually guilty. Either way, the films follow the ups and downs, the near misses, the thrill of the chase. And in our series of services exploring the story of Moses, we have come to the time when he fled, when he was chased out of Egypt in fear of his life. But how did we get here? How did we get here? Last Sunday, last time when we saw Moses, he was a little baby. Oh, being rescued from the Nile by an Egyptian princess, being brought to live and be brought up in Pharaoh's household. Now, we've been talking a little bit about The Prince of Egypt, the musical we had here, and the film. They fill in the gap between verses 10 and 11 with a whole backstory of Moses and Ramesses. To the extent that somebody turned to me when I was here for the musical and said, I'm going to have to go and read that story again. I didn't know Moses and Ramesses knew each other. It's like, yeah, not so much. That account of them growing up together, their relationship, it's plausible, entirely speculative. It's not in the scripture. There's no suggestion in the Bible that it actually happened. Nor that Zipporah met Moses before that encounter in Midian, as when it comes to that either. All we are told in the scripture is that Moses grew up and one day, as an adult, he went to visit his people. There's a whole lot of growing up happens between those two verses, between last week when he was a baby in that basket and this week where he is an adult man. We do know that he was at least partly brought up by his own mother after being rescued from the Nile. Do you remember his sister said, oh, shall I go and get a wet nurse from the Hebrews to raise the child? And the princess says, oh, that's a really good idea. And the little girl went to get her own mum, get Moses' mum, to nurse him. So we know that he was brought up at least partly by his own family. So it's at least possible that he kept in contact with them and visited them from time to time. Now, whether or not this was one of a series of visits or a one-off, Moses just decided to go out and see what the Hebrews were up to, we do know that on this occasion, Moses witnessed something that made him snap. He saw one of the Egyptians beating up one of his fellow Hebrews, and in his rage, he killed the Egyptian. I wonder if you noticed that little bit of detail in the account. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one. Just imagine Moses furtively checking the surroundings. Can anybody see me? Is there anybody about? Knowing if anybody saw him or found out what he'd done, they could get him in trouble. He was only going ahead when the coast was clear. Not clear enough, as it turns out. So next day, he goes to visit the Hebrews again. And perhaps does that suggest it was a regular thing? Anyway, Jethro, this time, he sees two of the Hebrews quarrelling. And he challenges the aggressor. He says, look, isn't it enough that the Egyptians beat you up? Why are you beating each other up? It's just insane. And then Moses' world collapses. What he had done the previous day was not a secret. It was common knowledge. And it's thrown back in his face by the one he thought he was protecting. Are you thinking of killing me like you killed the Egyptian? And in that one phrase, in that one challenge, Moses' world collapses. And what is his immediate reaction to this revelation? What does it say? It says, Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. Turns out that Moses was right to be afraid. What he had done had become known. It had become known to Pharaoh, who ordered that Moses be put to death. And Moses managed to escape, to flee to Midian, where, as we discussed earlier, he found a welcome and a family that he wasn't expecting. Before eventually being sent back to Egypt to finally go about the rescue of God's people in the right way. But we're going to be talking about those in future weeks, so I'm not going to go into that very much. This morning, what I thought we might do is explore and reflect on Moses' reaction to being found out. Moses' reaction to being found out is to flee. But what is it that he's fleeing from? What's he fleeing from? Well, on the surface, the answer to that might seem quite obvious. He's fleeing from the consequences of what he has been, what he's done, being found out. He's under sentence of death. There is a bill to pay, a judgment to be faced, a punishment due. His life is threatened, and so quite understandably, he flees. That's the obvious answer, but as I was thinking about this, I wondered if there's something a bit deeper as well. I wondered if he was fleeing from the shame. Perhaps he was ashamed of what he'd done. Perhaps he was ashamed that he'd failed to be the rescuer that he knew his people needed. Perhaps he's ashamed that rather than seeing him as the hero, his own people have rejected him and probably informed on him. Seems to me that Moses is afraid and flees from the consequences and from the shame of what he'd done. And as I was thinking about this, a couple of other stories from the Bible, other situations in the Bible came to mind and seemed to me to have some similarities. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, we read the accounts of the creation of all things, including human beings, created in the image of God. We read of Adam and Eve and their relationship with God, close and loving. We read that they're given a garden to live in, to delight in, with only one restriction. Not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. But they do not trust that God has their best at heart. And so they disobey God and choose to eat the fruit of that tree. God came walking in the garden, and they heard him coming, and they hid from him. They fled from God. God calls out to them, "Where are you?" And Adam replies, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Do you hear the echoes? fear, shame, flight. Jumping forward many centuries, we come to the night before Jesus died. Jesus had shared a last meal with his friends and his followers, had gone out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And while he was there, temple guards had come to arrest him. They took him to the high priest's house to be put on trial. One of his friends and followers, Simon Peter, followed behind, went into the courtyard of the house where the trial was happening. And he was sat round the fire with everybody else there in the courtyard. And while he was sat round, Simon was repeatedly challenged and accused of being one of Jesus' followers. And he denied it. 3 times he was challenged, and 3 times he denied it, finishing up with, "I don't know the man." And in Luke 22 we read, just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the cock crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Do you hear the echoes? Fear, shame, flight. I wonder if we recognize those reactions in our lives when we are found out. When things we have done that we know are wrong come to light. The good news for Moses, for Adam and Eve, for Peter, for us, is that the stories don't end there. God doesn't leave us alone in our fear, our shame, or our running away. He comes after us in love to calm our fears and heal our shame. In a couple of weeks, we're going to see Moses and God face to face, talking together at a bush on fire. Moses is restored. He's renewed in his call to be the one who will rescue the people of God from slavery, and he's sent back to Egypt. After Jesus was raised to life, he met with Peter over a breakfast of grilled fish on the beach of Lake Galilee. And they had a conversation. In that conversation, Jesus forgave Peter, restored him, and commissioned him as pastor and shepherd of the new church. And Adam and Eve? Well, they did have to leave that garden. But God did not abandon them or their descendants. Throughout the Bible, we again and again hear messengers from God saying, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will rescue." And Jesus is the greatest expression of this. Even his name, Jesus, means God rescues. That's what Jesus means, God rescues. And the other name he was given before his birth? Emmanuel. Which means God is with us. Jesus' names literally mean God is with us and God rescues. The angels announcing his birth, what was the first thing they said again and again and again? Do not be afraid. Jesus said it again and again throughout his ministry from the beginning to the end. Do not be afraid. In him is the perfection of God's love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Whatever fear or shame we might be running from, God is after us. God is our safe place. God is our sanctuary. The hand of heaven will not relent in his pursuit of us. There is nothing that is done or said in secret that will not become known. For God is light and shines that light into every part of our lives. And when we hear that, that might make us feel uncomfortable. Might even sound like bad news, but it really isn't. It's good news. We don't need to be afraid or ashamed of our secrets. We do not need to run from them. God knows them already. There's nothing he doesn't see. God knows them already and sent Jesus to deal with the consequences. He dealt with the consequences on the cross in his death and his resurrection, as we remember and celebrate when we come to communion. He dealt with them. And God sends the Holy Spirit now to help us to step into the freedom that he has bought for us. Freedom from fear, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame. It's all there for us. So we can live free from fear and shame, forgiven and released to be the people that God created us to be, to do the works of God prepared in advance for us to do. All we need to do is to stop running, to allow God to catch us, swinging us up in his Father's arms and embrace us. Ask him to help us to face those things of which we are afraid and ashamed, to deal with them, knowing that as we do that, we are not alone, but held in his love and compassion.